listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and welcome this afternoon. We got a great show today for you. We have my co-host today, Dave Allen, joining me, and when we're going to bring you, as always, our opinion, our commentary on today's economic and political events. And, of course, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. And we're going to start today. It's Wednesday, May 15th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody, and happy hump day.
Oh, happy to you, too. Happy hump day to you, too. And I'm actually beginning to look forward to that every Wednesday.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it is. So, and I hope the listeners are looking forward to our program, and we're going to go right in there to the precious metals closing today. We have gold down, and I was trying to get above 1,300, but that's okay. It's still steadying out, 1,297. 1,297 on the day of the New York spot price after market. Silver's holding at 1,486. Platinum was down 9 at 849, and palladium was up 4 at 1,348. The USDX today was up 0.05 at 97.57. Crude oil was also up 41 at 62.19. Paper markets today, you have the Dow up 116 points at 25,648. The NASDAQ was up 87 at 78.22. S&P up 16 at 28.50. 10-year yield, wow, 2.38%. 2.38%, down 0.04. That should help those who want more debt. And for now, anyway. And pretty quiet overseas. Japan, Hong Kong, London, Germany, they're all up less than a half, about a half a percent. And so, you know, it's been a fairly quiet day, really, considering what all has been going on, a quiet day in the markets. So, with that, we'll talk about all that when we come back from the break. But first, the first segment on Wednesdays, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about the jumping superbug. Have you heard about this one?
The jumpings. I remember we used to have Mexican jumping beans when we were kids.
Well, maybe this is a bilingual bug. I don't know. But in May of this year, 2019, Cornell University was stating they witnessed a new bacteria associated with food poisoning, salmonella, and they're calling it MCR9. And they said the bacteria has genes that jump, and it's a very much a drug-resistant type of bacteria. So it's very robust, they said. The last resort antibiotics like colistin cannot destroy it. So this bacteria seems to also assist other bacteria in becoming more drug resistant. So the research got published in the May issue 2019 in the journal MBio. So this drug resistance is now global. Even the UN they don't have a clue what to do. So we're going to find out how we can protect ourselves from bacteria using a lot of God's good herbs that the bacteria is not resistant to. So the bacteria is mobile. And very drug resistant, and it's so mobile it can actually travel on airplanes. You know, it can survive for a while on surfaces and then infect other parts of the globe. They seem to be really concerned that the MCR9 bacteria gene is also arming other bacteria to have greater resistance to drug treatment. And we're just now hearing about this, but science has known about this bacteria since 2015 because that's when it got entered into their National Center of Biotechnology Information. And the National Institutes of Health also included this bacteria in their database. So a lot of medical professionals all around the world can access this database, and that's how they can identify a lot of food poisoning microbes based on what's entered into the bacterial profile. But here's a quote from Martin Weidman, a food safety professor at Cornell, who says, if you go to the hospital and this gene is kind of floating around, it can cause trouble. The gene is movable, it jumps, and in a hospital setting, we tend to screen patients and also to see if they have any resistance to this particular bacterium. If not, we isolate them immediately to maintain biosecurity. So science is, I guess, what they're doing in order to deal with this. Any ideas?
No, I don't.
Well, they're turning to herbs. I'm not kidding.
Ah, really?
It's really interesting that the very botanical medicine science scrutinized and rebuked as worthless for improving health is now looking to the herbs to find a solution to the drug-resistant threat. So they started searching for botanical herbs that assisted with inflammation, and in April 2016, they landed on the herb willow herb. It's called great willow herb. There's like 197 different species of it, but the plant is, it's a familiar evening primrose is a variety of it, okay? And in some areas of the world, the herb is considered a weed, but it does offer a lot of anti-inflammatory antioxidant properties. And the research team in Romania, what they did is they prepared a series of herb extracts with the great willow herb, and they used it along with antibiotics. So the research is suggesting that the herbs with the drugs are offering more of a synergistic effect, and they said this could reduce the antibiotic doses they have to use and all the side effects. So they're hoping that the herb along with an antibiotic is going to be the Hail Mary pass for this particular strain. According to Open Chemistry, they stated in a publication, as more and more bacterial strains don't react to our currently known antibiotics, scientists are turning to nature, screening plant-derived compounds to identify a new drug lead. And then also the Journal of Die Kräuter, that's a German publication, said the great willow herb has been confirmed as an effective source for natural antimicrobials. It offers antibiotics synergistic action, the capacity to influence strains like E. coli, strep, staph, gram-positive bacteria, food poisoning bacteria, candida, and deadly fungi. So physicians and pharmacists are using this herb in conjunction with varied antibiotics and antibacterial therapies. So I just have to sit back and just smile at this because, you know, God's chemistry can't be beat. You want to know what else they discovered? The Romanian scientists, where they were looking at the great willow herb, they also found it contained cancer preventive effects. So specifically, they tested it. It was very beneficial towards prostate health. And according to their report, they stated the herb was full of flavonoids and polyphenols, oils, vitamins, amino acids, and minerals. So we just learned, really, that there's this silent pandemic with the fungus, the candida or urus. So why is it that, you know, I can find all this research reports, but most physicians really don't have a clue, that they could use evening primrose or the great willow to destroy fungus and drug-resistant bacteria. So they haven't really read all the reports, especially the reports that were so basic, like copper and silver kill most microbes on surfaces. They tested in one hospital. They just sprayed surfaces with copper peptides and silver alkaloids, like a colloidal silver, and immediately disinfected the surface.
Oh.
Yeah, and it wouldn't really cost that much, you know, to disinfect your hospital that way. But according to infectious control and hospital epidemiology, they say that, why do that when our isolation costs to isolate a patient is $35 per day just for the supplies, like gowns, gloves, and face gear. And then the cost of the contact protocols for that room is $125 to $193 a day. So we know where the motivation is, don't we?
Absolutely. And it really is amazing that they have something at their fingertips that they can use and they just...
Not using it.
They just ignore it. Just...
Right. Well, I mean, you know, a disinfected hospital, where's the profit in that, I guess?
Yeah, you know? I know. Where do you find one? Yeah.
I know. Well, and this is really just a tip of the iceberg, and science knows this. According to a lot of physician reports all across our earth, the problem with bacterial infections is really not responding to the treatment. It's also a growing concern that the public's not aware that this is a big concern. You're not hearing about it. According to Dr. James Hughes. He's co-director of Emory Antibiotic Resistant Center in Atlanta, Georgia. He says most drug-resistant bacteria does not spread easily from person to person to terrify people to the extent that Ebola does. However, he says it is a serious problem and it's getting worse, and we don't have the tools we need to fully confront it. Henry Chambers, he's a chief medical doctor at the Division of Infectious Diseases in San Francisco General Hospital. He says just because there is a single case of a superbug infection doesn't mean it has jumped to others. However, I do not take comfort in that, because when you identify one case, there are often many others that have not yet been recognized but soon will be. It's kind of like the tip of the iceberg problem, end of quote. So they're seeing a lot of bacteria spreading, and it comes from three different major forms. They're seeing it in pneumonia, sexually transmitted diseases, and also food poisoning. So when they prescribe these highly potent top-shelf antibiotics like colistin, and using antibiotic combination drugs also, it brings along with it a lot of risks and complications. And, you know, they do off-label combos on a lot of drugs as a last resort to try to see if it'll save the patient. But then you have the complication of risking organ failure. So therefore, that last-ditch effort of antibiotic combos could kill the bacteria infection, but it also would put you on the liver and the kidney transplant list. Wow. So right now we're told that the death toll is 23,000 a year, but it's increasing annually, and these types of infections cost $20 billion just in the United States. So the infectious bacteria is big money. It's a big money maker for medicine, but it's also scaring them to death. According to Henry Chambers, he says doctors don't realize that the bacteria making the patient sick are resistant to the antibiotics that are prescribed, and by the time the doctors figure that out, the antibiotics, they're not working. The bacteria infection has had 2 to 3 days to progress. Yeah, it colonizes and spreads quickly. So according to patients with compromised weak immune systems, those who have serious health problem, complication, you know, chronic illnesses, they're going to be the most at risk. But it doesn't mean that there is any kind of cloak that covers the healthy. Here's a quote from Jean Patel, a medical doctor at the CDC Antibiotic Resistant Laboratory, who says these infections do strike and even kill people who are otherwise perfectly healthy. So anybody can become infected with a resistant bacteria, and some people are carriers and show no symptoms at all. So it's hard to predict how much worse an antibiotic resistance is going to get in the next few years, but we do have long-term projected forecasts, but they're pretty grim. It can kill more people per year than cancer can. That's what they're worried about. She goes on to say conditions like tuberculosis and sexually transmitted diseases could become untreatable really quick, end of quote.
Well, that's a pleasant thought.
I know. Well, I mean, and nobody's talking about it, so nobody's preparing for it. And also, James Hughes, the medical doctor at the Antibiotic Resistance Center in Atlanta, says we'll never totally eliminate the problem of antibiotic resistance, but we can do a lot better in being prepared, detect and respond to it more effectively, preventing as much as possible, end of quote. But if you're not informing and educating the public, that's kind of, you know, what you need to be doing so people can prepare and protect themselves, you know?
If they make that decision to do so.
This is true. Proactiveness is kind of, you know, an option, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well, people do need to realize.
I got a quick question for you. What do doctors do in cases like this? I mean, certainly we all see where doctors will show up and, you know, no matter what goes on, even though they might be dealing with, a contagion and so forth. So, and I talked to a doctor before about MRSA, and he basically said, well, we're all infected. It's just that our autoimmune system fights it, so we're not contagious. So, I mean, does that ever come into play in any of this? I mean, as far as, you know, these hospitals and so forth, when we see how unclean they are and...
Well, yeah, I mean, you can develop a resistance. You know, doctors do, your general practitioners do, your nurses do. You know, they're around cold and flu bugs all the time. What they do, and they build up a resistance until a new strain comes around they hadn't encountered before, and then they get sick. So, you know, your immune system's very sophisticated, and so I tell people, take care of it. Try not to do anything to sabotage it or suppress it. And there's a lot of things that suppress the immune system, like white sugar. One candy bar turns off your immune system for 8 hours. Yeah. So it's plenty of time to get infected with something. Also, you want to watch anything that converts to sugar. It suppresses the immune system, like alcohol. And as well as, you know, if you're vitamin and mineral deficient, then your immune system is going to be running on low fuel. Actually, your immune system uses calcium. And all we hear about is calcium for bones, but actually you need it for your immune system, but you got to get the right source of calcium the body can utilize. So unfortunately, when we dissect things, we strip buffer alkaloids and other elements away that the body struggles to utilize it. And cow's milk, for instance, does have calcium, but it doesn't have boron and magnesium the body has to have to utilize and uptake calcium. So that's why you still see a lot of people with bone problems, and they are eating lots of cow's milk, cheese, and whatever. So when you look at plant-based calciums, that your green leafy vegetables, your oranges, and some of your medicinal herbs, if there is calcium there, it'll always have this chemistry the same, two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium, and that's what the body has to have to use calcium. So if we just go with what God created, a lot of times we don't need mega doses of things to help our system support and defend. So the immune system's real important, and a lot of people don't realize that the average person does have a suppressed immune system. If they've ever taken antibiotics, they suppress immune system, and so do vaccines. So when we do immune boosting, we're bringing that system back up to normal, and there's herbs that can do that. And that's what we specialize in, Melanie, immune boosting. And people can give us a call. If they want to catalog, it's 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Our new catalog is in with new products in there, so do get a copy or visit thepowerherbs.com, where you're going to, you know, find your healthcare options that just became endless.
All right, and it is a great catalog, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you like that?
I did. You did a great job on it. A lot of information in there, and everyone should have one. So give her a call, 866-229-3663. We'll talk to you next week, Wendy.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. And ladies and gentlemen, now we'll see you, and we'll hear from us in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Let's go ahead and get started with some. We did see that stocks rose today. We had an update yesterday, too, as the president is planning to delay the implementation of auto tariffs on Europe. He's going to give them another 6 months, and hopefully it's going to give both sides a little more time to try to strike out a new trade agreement. But I think we've heard that one before, haven't we, Dave?
Hmm.
And some other news, both China and the U.S. have reported weaker retail sales and industrial production for April, even though the latest escalation of the, even before the latest escalation of the trade war. So, you know, with the softer Chinese data, it kind of casts a little doubt on what many had hoped for were signs of recovery. And the softer reports immediately sparked market speculation of stimulus programs, of course, in China, and an interest rate cut by the U.S. Central Bank. But a lot of economists are saying that the Fed is not expected to change their stance anytime soon. So, and what's also interesting, Dave, is people who are out there looking for mortgages, they weren't impressed with the latest drop in interest rates.
Well, apparently not. Melody, mortgage application volume dropped 0.6% last week. That's according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Volume was 10% higher than a year ago when interest rates were higher. The average contract interest rate for 30-year fixed rate mortgages with conforming loan balances of $484,000 roughly decreased just one basis point to 4.4%. Now, although tiny, that was the third consecutive week of declines in mortgage rates. Yet the rate was still 37 basis points higher than a year ago. I'm sorry, the rate was 37 basis points higher a year ago. Now, mortgage refinance volume, which is the most sensitive to rates, fell 1% for the week, but was nearly 17% higher annually. Mortgage apps to purchase a home fell 1% for the week, but were almost 7% higher on an annual basis.
Well, you know, builders meeting at the conference in Southern California this week, they did express concern about the affordability, and especially given higher costs for labor, land, and now they're also now concerned with the new tariffs on some Chinese products that actually go into housing. And one builder said that builders just don't have a big cushion. Yeah, I don't know about that. And as expensive as these homes are getting, I think their cushion is bigger than they're likely to admit. But that's just my idea. That's just my thoughts. But supposedly, it's a surprisingly low-margin industry. So they have no choice that when costs go up, guess who's going to end up paying a little bit more. But builder confidence in the newly built single-family home market rose 3 points to 66 in May. And, of course, that is the highest reading since October. Something else that, you know, we talk about this on a day-in, day-out basis. You probably get tired of us talking about it or hearing about it, but it is important. Especially after we've seen such a tumultuous week ending up on an up note, it seemed U.S. stocks just might escape the trade spat, but maybe with just some bruises. Then Monday came and there was a big sell-off. So what's changed? The reality of a potential impasse took hold. Maybe that the U.S. and China won't come to terms. Maybe the stock market won't be able to right its ship, and maybe the consequences will be too much for the economy. So Morgan Stanley's chief equity strategist, Mike Wilson, believes that the escalation has increased the likelihood for the prolonged economic downturn and the most reliable killer of bull markets. So, you know, the risk of an economic downturn has increased substantially. Dave.
Sorry, Melody. He added that we think there is likely more downside than up based on our high conviction that earnings expectations remain too high by as much as 10%. Now, the president of the Boston Fed, Eric Rosengren, said it's too soon to say what the escalation means for the economy, but it could deliver a lasting boost to inflation, while the reaction of financial markets also matters. You know, to be sure, Wall Street models have flashed recession signals before, and the economy has, you know, sort of gone on. Corrections like the one at the end of last year have occurred five other times since the bull market began, with no recessions materializing. Still, virtually every economic downturn in the last century was accompanied or preceded by a bear market. And of course, you know, we can't overstate the importance of continuing yield curve inversions, which we continue to see, and at some levels is even growing. Now, Wilson, who's one of the biggest equity bears on Wall Street, is the strategist who most accurately predicted last year's stock drop. He also has a view that differs from his own firm's economists, who say a recession won't happen anytime soon. He believes it's on the way.
Well, you know, there's a... You know, there's always debates on, you know, these tariffs about who's going to pay more and so forth and who they're going to affect. But, I mean, you know, it does seem, you know, the less money people have, the more stuff they buy. And so, you know, you have these discussions. It's the people down the income scale who's going to feel the pain of tariffs the most. And but you know what, Dave? Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe they shouldn't be out there buying all these things that they really don't need. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, you know, I mean, it's one thing if you, you know, the prices go up on, you know, your food and your energy. It's something else if it's going up on your net, on your eighth TV that you have. Do you really need that eighth TV? No, I don't. Pardon?
But. No, I didn't. If I said something, I didn't mean, I wasn't planning to.
Oh. So as of 2014, households in the top 10th of pre-tax income spent less than 0.3% of their after-tax income on tariffs, whose costs were embedded in the prices of the product that they bought. So households in the bottom 10th of pre-tax income paid not five times more, as over 1.5% of their after-tax income went towards tariffs. So,
well, today, all classes of Americans pay more for tariffs, but the burden is still proportionately heavier on the poor. That's this professor at the University of California at San Diego, Catherine Russ, who was part of that 2017 study that Melody just got finished sharing some statistics with. Lower income customers tend to spend a lot of their money on low priced apparel and other items imported from China. On the other hand, Russ says higher income people spend a lot on high end consumer electronics that are also from China. The biggest reason tariffs apparently pinch the poor the most, Russ says, is that the poor have less of a cushion. A higher share of their income goes for consumption of all kinds, and the rich save a higher share of theirs, presumably just because they have more disposable income to do so. Anyway, the economic report of the president for 2018 says tariffs raise prices for consumers.
Well, let's go ahead and let's talk about Pompeo. We talked about he went to Brussels first to talk about Iran before he went back to Russia. So what is going on with Pompeo and Putin?
Well, Putin and Pompeo met yesterday on the shores of the Black Sea, and they said they're committed to improving the ties between their nations. But we know it won't be easy. Now, Putin's 90-minute meeting with Pompeo in the resort city of Sochi represented an initial step toward addressing a wide range of disputes between the two nations and a search for common ground. The two men acknowledged that Moscow and Washington continue to fundamentally disagree on key issues. They include how to lower tensions in hot spots like Ukraine, Venezuela, and Iran, as well as the consequences of Russian interference in U.S. elections. A wide range of U.S. sanctions remain in place against the Russian economy, and with bipartisan congressional support, are unlikely to be lifted anytime soon.
Well, you know, again, Putin and Pompeo signaled that they are overlapping areas of interest. And as you mentioned, North Korea's nuclear threat, Syria and Afghanistan. But Pompeo described the talks as productive. And touching on one of the biggest foreign policy issues, Pompeo said he told Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov that the U.S. fundamentally doesn't want war with Iran. Okay. At the same time, Lavrov warned of the risk of being pulled into a spiral of crisis over the Islamic Republic.
Both sides described the talks as frank, saying that they wanted to improve relations that had been strained for years over the conflicts in Syria and Ukraine, and more recently over strategic arms control, which both parties are walking away from, and as well as U.S. efforts to oust Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. You know, Lavrov said they agreed to engage on other arms control issues, including on a possible extension of the U.S.-Russia New START nuclear treaty that's set to expire in 2021. Lavrov also said there may be hope for some agreement on Iran that would win backing by both Russia and the U.S. after Trump pulled the U.S. out of the international accord on Iran's nuclear program. We will see. That's a very complicated scenario involved in not just one, two, or three, but numerous hotspots around the world that both parties have an interest in, and that Russia is said to have similar interests as China in some of those places. So it's going to be a challenging next couple of years, Melody.
Well, what's concerning to me is there's so many hot spots. How do you manage all of those hot spots and still manage what is going on here? And, the problems that the U.S. has. And so it's
well. One of the ways you have a strong cabinet.
Yeah.
You have secretaries of all of your departments that deal with domestic affairs in most of them, and foreign affairs in others, and hope that you appoint people who will tell you what they think and their staffs think you need to hear rather than, perhaps what they think you want to hear to stay on their good side. To me, presents a particular challenge right now. We can continue not just to hope, but to insist for the best.
But you know what? I do think that those in cabinet positions now, they do seem to be all on the same page. Maybe this because there's so much outside stuff going on, there is not a lot of inside stuff to focus on, maybe. But it does seem like all the bickering and so forth has stopped, you know, all the internal things. But you don't hear much about, the female people inside oh my gosh, don't let it happen to me on air where I just got a
Well, you mean Betsy DeVos or people like her that with Kristen Nielsen? Part of the problem in my eyes is that you got a lot of yes men and women. Plus you got a very type A personality in the president, to whom his cabinet members, acquiesce to just about all the time. There were exceptions with some others who have since gone, but I just fear that lack of internal debate signals that they're not having healthy debate for the benefit of the president in his decision-making capacity.
Well, as you said, we'll find out here pretty quick, I think. It could be a difficult 2 years.
Indeed.
Something we talk a lot about, credit card delinquency rates. Again, they're increasing. Consumers in their 20s, more than half of them own credit cards. More than half of U.S. consumers in their 20s own a credit card. That number has increased in recent years. So have the delinquency rates. But that's not a sign for alarm yet, according to a posting on the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's Liberty Street Economics blog. That's a long name. The share of borrowers who are 90-plus days delinquent on their credit card balances is still below the pre-recession levels. The rate at which credit card balances become delinquent has been rising, and that has coincided with an increase in younger borrowers entering the credit card market. These delinquency rates are increasing from historically low levels and remain below pre-financial crisis levels, Dave.
Well, I look at the fact that they're rising and the fact that, more people have credit cards. It doesn't surprise me that perhaps the overall delinquency rate is not where it was, a little over 10 years ago. It's just, but the number, the sheer number of delinquencies is huge.
And we'll finish that up when we get back from a break. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
Oh, won't you tell me
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you get to the website, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, dgscoins.com. And I was just looking for something here. I'm not sure I can find it, but we are running a special today. And the price on that, let me bring up the price here. 90% silver, and it's the same package we often bring to you. 90% silver, half dollars, $25 face value, and a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle. A quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, and that's for 765 days. You can buy one of these packages or 100 of these packages. So it's a great special, and of course, if you buy more than one, we'll adjust the package for shipping and everything. So it's a, again, it's a great beginner's package. It's a great way to add to your portfolio. You get some silver, you get some gold, you get some fractional gold for $765. We got lots of them available for you, ladies and gentlemen, so give us a call. And 1-800-375-4188. Were we just about finishing up on that segment on the credit card delinquency, Dave?
Well, you know, we were, but there's a couple of things here I just wanted to say before we leave that. And, you know, Americans have $1.054 trillion in credit card debt these days. You know, that's 5.4% of the roughly $19.7 trillion Americans have in total personal debt. And that comes to about $60,000 per citizen. Now, the other set of facts, just in general, and it's not surprising that the number of delinquencies decreases the older you get. For example, 18 to 29-year-olds, 18% of them are more than 90 days late on their credit card payments, while the 50 to 59-year-olds, just 4.5% are delinquent on theirs. This particular report didn't talk about the seniors who are 60 and over, but I would suspect it's every bit as low, if not lower, maybe not, as they go up into the fixed income areas. But yeah, that's really all.
And, you know, again, it's just another sign of what is driving our economy. And that's a lot, 60,000. 60,000 per citizen. That's really a lot. Times interest plus interest. So I don't know if those numbers wouldn't include interest, right?
Yeah, no. Debt. No, I would think it's just the principal.
The principal.
That's a lot of boxes of chocolate, Melody.
And speaking of chocolate, and I like this, Ruby chocolate. How about that? It's named after my little puppy, Ruby. Ruby chocolate. Tell us about it.
There you go.
Everybody loves chocolate.
The world's largest chocolate market is finally getting a taste of the Ruby range. That's the first new type of chocolate in more than 80 years. Switzerland's Barry Callebaut, which is the top maker of bulk chocolates, is rolling out its Ruby breakthrough in the U.S. almost 2 years after announcing the discovery. This new type of chocolate, with its pinkish hue, expanded the industry's color palette beyond just dark, milk, and white. It was the first new natural shade added since Nestle started making white bars in the 1930s, Melody.
Wow.
Ruby has already made a splash in Asia, where Nestle was the first to adopt the invention, adding it to its Kit Kat bars, starting in Japan. Now, Barry Callebaut has also launched the chocolate in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, and trials in the U.S. have proved successful. A spokesperson for the company said, "We know there's a lot of appeal already for quite some time, which made us decide now that the next move is into the U.S., the biggest chocolate market in the world." Barry Callebaut announced the invention of Ruby chocolate in September of 2017. After a decade of development. You know, the innovation, which was apparently based on a special type of cocoa bean that can be found in, Ivory Coast, Ecuador, and Brazil, has a natural berry flavor that's sour, yet sweet. Ruby first hit the consumer market in January last year when Nestle debuted its pink Kit Kat bars in Japan. Tapping the U.S. market could boost the company's sales, Barry Callebaut's sales, and help establish Ruby as the fourth type of chocolate. Now, its invention is also being officially rolled out in Canada, where Nestle already sells its Ruby Kit Kats. But there's still some hurdles. The Swiss firm is going to have to wait for approval from the FDA to be able to call it chocolate. For now, the product will be launched, as listen to this, as Ruby Couverture, with early adopters using names like Ruby Cacao Bar and Ruby Cacao Truffle. A similar approval process is needed in Canada, too. Now, while Barry Callebaut says it won't trademark Ruby, the recipe of the world's first naturally pink chocolate does remain a secret. So I guess they won't be doing any business in China, Melody. Among Nestle's other major challenges is going to be how to source enough ruby beans to make the type of chocolate sustainable over the long run. And apparently that's not so easy a task. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
Well, thank you.
And here you go.
My little Ruby Welsh Terrier has become popular.
Indeed, but, as she should be.
Yes, she is. But you know what's interesting, though, and it's been a while since I reported on this and looked at the new numbers and so forth, but where they harvest the cocoa beans and so forth, they're really running out of cocoa. And it's almost as, we hear blood diamonds. It's almost as bad, we almost have blood chocolate to what it's doing to the area, the little farmers, the people who try to make a living and so forth. And, you have these big companies come in and there and so forth. So, it's just something that we don't think about when we eat chocolate. And it's something we don't think about when we buy diamonds, where they come from and the true history and how they're so manipulated and everything. But I guess we'll save that for another day, and I don't want to ruin that that high off of that ruby chocolate. Did you see any yet? I mean,
not in person, just a photograph in one of the articles I saw that our story was based on. It certainly was. It looked like a rose-colored chunk.
Was it dark or light?
It was light.
Light.
Yeah.
So,
lighter.
All right. Lighter. Very interesting. Well, this is interesting, too. NASA. And they're requesting an additional $1.6 billion in funding for the next year to accelerate its manned mission to the moon by 2024.
Well, there you go again.
The agency revealed is going, it's going to be titled Artemis. You know what irritates me about all this, though?
What?
It wasn't it Bezos who's working to get to the moon for water?
Sure.
So, you know, NASA is working along next to Bezos, and NASA is requesting funding for $1.6 billion when they're working with Bezos, who is the richest man in the world. So, doesn't that irritate anybody other than me?
Well, that's just the start.
Oh, okay.
If you think $1.6 billion is nuts, talk on.
All righty. I mean, that's just like, grr. And everybody will praise this. Oh, it's such a, we're going to the moon. Great. NASA emphasized the agency plans to have the first female astronaut to set foot on the lunar surface. Of course they would. $1 billion, who's going to argue about a first female astronaut? No one. The first billion of the request would go directly to the commercial lunar lander, while $651 million would be allocated to the development of the Orion multipurpose crew vehicle and the repeatedly delayed space launch system. 50 years after Apollo, the Artemis program will carry the next man and first woman to the moon. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $220 million would also be set aside for the development of technologies crucial to expanding future U.S. lunar presence.
Well, here you go, Melody. NASA's also seeking $132 million for developing technologies like converting ice within craters at the moon's poles to water.
Yeah, that's Bezos.
There you go. And another $90 million for robotic exploration of the moon. NASA's director said that even higher increases would be needed in future years, that is, funding increases, and that NASA was still figuring out how much that would be. NASA, let's see. Well, the $1.6 billion is not a hoard of treasure by federal government standards, but it... but... I'm taking a little bit of Melody's hurrah away. University of Colorado astrophysicist Jack Byrne says his estimate is that NASA actually needs $25 billion annually to launch in 2024. So the 1.6, let's say, a starting point?
Wow. It's, you know, what I have an issue with is our infrastructure is crumbling.
There you go.
Whether you admit to it or not, ladies and gentlemen, is crumbling. Wouldn't you rather see these billions of dollars going something to repair the infrastructure than going to the moon for, you know, the richest man in the world so he can have his water? I guess Fiji water is not good enough for him.
Yeah, really.
Yes, I guess, you know, moon water from the moon, moon water. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think positive. I mean, we know that Russia's in there, China's going to the moon, space, and there's already an International Space Station up there, ladies and gentlemen.
And, you know, there's consensus among the space age types that the moon, you know, is essential. I'm not sure that's the right word. Necessary for, you know, as a springboard for launches to Mars and beyond. Now, you know, we're getting into a whole nother realm there, and a whole nother, you know, costs beyond the stratosphere, and you're talking about that you know, what is it, a 9 month or 3 month, however long it is, it's a long trip. And as Melody said, with you know, with just literally trillions of dollars of aged, decrepit infrastructure, gosh, I mean, it's we're going to be hard pressed to make those dollars stretch that far.
And what's interesting, though, is a lot of this, or the lion's share of this funding, is going to come from unallocated money in the Pell Grant program.
Yeah, how about it?
And the Pell Grant program is a financial aid program for low-income students. So, you know, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. And again, it just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, they have to just keep pumping money into the system because there's no turning back. They got to keep doing it. They're going to keep pumping out money. They're going to keep pumping money into the system. And that's okay. The more they pump into this system, the higher gold's going to go. When? I don't know. But when it does, it's going to spring on that springboard so high, it'll go to the moon and beyond. So,
what did someone once say? To infinity and beyond.
To infinity and beyond. We're just about out of time. Poland Central Bank is leaving their rates alone despite inflation. And, you know, that was sort of interesting. You have Americans' perspective on wealth depends on their age. It's all relative, I guess. Merely having a net worth of $1 million, it seems, doesn't mean you're wealthy anymore. That's because your dollars are buying less. Mm-hmm. It's because your fiat currency takes more of those dollars to buy the same things. So, again,
and we're living longer.
We might be living longer. Yes, we are. But that's probably debatable, too, now that our life expectancy is beginning to drop here in the United States. We're out of time. That's what we're dropping. We're just about out of time. We are out of time. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. I have a plan. If I got me